If we love God, we will have this, not just a vertical religion, but we'll have this horizontal religion. And that's where 1 Corinthians 13 comes into play. Paul is introducing this horizontal religion. It's not really even an internal thing. It's an external thing. How we treat people is how God treated us. That the way we treat other people is the number one indicator of how much we love God. And many of us have become very familiar with 1 Corinthians 13. And so familiar that I think it becomes a little stale. And we kind of read right past some important stuff. And so if we look together, and my version's a little different than one on the screen, so I'll read what you guys have. Go ahead, babe. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. What this is saying is that, listen, if I'm super talented, if I can understand how to talk to angels, if I have super abilities, but I don't have this love, it's useless. I'm just a resounding cymbal. I'm making no sense. I'm making no music. It's just a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. There's really no productivity to it. He goes in the second verse. If I have the gifts of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move a mountain, he's saying, listen, if I have all these skills, if I have the ability to foretell, if I have the ability to fathom mysteries, and I'm the smartest guy in the room, and I have the faith that can move a mountain, but I do not have love, he says, I'm useless. And then he goes on one more time in verse 3, he says, if I give all of my possessions, everything I can pull out of my pocket and out of my bank, and if after I give all of that, I actually just give my whole self, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. And so what we find out is this whole idea of have love. What does it mean to have love? I don't think to have love is an internal thing. It's not a vertical thing. It's actually a practical, horizontal, between people thing. And we see that as he continues in verse 4. Look. Love is patient. Love defers. Love is kind. It does not envy. It's not jealous. It does not boast. It doesn't have personal parades. It's not proud. Keep going. It does not dishonor. Listen, if whatever I'm doing doesn't honor you, I won't do it. It doesn't dishonor. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angry. It keeps no records of wrong. It doesn't keep score. Love does not delight in evil and rejoices with truth. We'll come back to verse 6. But then we go to verse 7, and he just goes rapid fire now. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Now, there's one up there that we should really have a problem with. And I'm going to guess by the time I get into 5 or 7 more minutes of this sermon, you're going to have a real problem with this verse. You didn't have a problem with it until about 5 minutes from now. Always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. I mean, listen, I get the protect thing, right? We can protect. We can, love can protect. We can, you know, we make sure it's protect a relationship. I mean, I get the always hopes. We always want it to be better. I mean, I get the perseverance. Things are going to get tough, but we're going to persevere. We're going to stay together. We're going to stick it out. But how many of us always trust? Now, here's the thing. Most of these things in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 are the lover. I love Susie, and so I'm going to be patient. I'm going to be long-suffering. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be this. But the always trust is dependent on Susie and how she behaves. Right? Always trust. How dumb is that? You shouldn't always trust. How naive is that? Always trust somebody? That's super naive. I mean, come on, you got to be skeptical at some point. This is not even possible. But what Paul is saying, friends, is that love always believes everything. Always believes everything? Love defaults to trust. And so the last facet to happier and healthier guaranteed is love always trusts. Over the last couple of years, Susie and I have been trying to apply this in our relationships. And we see this as the only way forward. Because let's just be honest. I don't know if we can be honest in church, but let's try. You're not going to be able to convince the other person. You're not really going to be able to mandate. You're not going to be able to coerce them. You're not going to be able to punish them into conformity. You're just not going to be. You might think you can, but you can't. And I realize that always trusting is definitely scary, vulnerable, and super risky. You feel naked, exposed, and not in control. But what I want us to understand today, that in every relationship, not just a romantic relationship, but in every relationship, there is a gap between this and this. That there's a gap between what our expectations are. We've talked about that, right? We have these expectations, but then we also know what actually happens, right? She said she was going to be there at 5, and she showed up at 6:15. He said that he was going to stop doing that, but I found out he's continued to do it. There is a gap. There's always a gap in relationships between what we expect, what was promised to us, what we talked about, what we agreed on, and what actually happened. And what's important, friends, is what do you put in the gap? And this is the choice. This is the decision that you get to make, what you put in the gap. Not what he's doing or what she's doing or what he promised or what she promised. No, every single time there's a gap, you and only you get to decide either I'm going to assume the worst or I'm going to believe the best. When there is a gap between your expectations and your experience, either you're going to assume the worst or you're going to believe the best. And it is your choice. When we believe the best, we're not sure why. We fill in the blank. We're not sure why, but what we're sure of is that they have a great reason. When I get all the information, I'm sure it'll make sense. But somebody who assumes the worst says, he did it again. I knew it. She did it again. I expected her to mess up again. That's just usually how it turns out. I knew it was only a matter of time. I want you to know that happier and healthier guaranteed believes the best instead of assuming the worst. This is exactly what 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7 says. Believes all things. Love always trusts. See, you don't like that verse as much anymore, huh? I told you. It's only been 5 minutes. We're not so sure about that verse anymore. But guess what? I didn't just make this up. It's been in your Bible the entire time. Like, I didn't just insert this in here for the sermon today. It's been there the entire time. And so every time there's a gap, what I was told, what I expected, what I was led to believe, what was promised, you, not your spouse, you, not your spouse, not your brother, not your father, not no one else except you has the choice to put something in the gap. And I'm letting you know today that happy couples put in the gap, they will believe the best until they just cannot do it anymore. Marcus Buckingham, who has nothing to do with Christianity, wrote a book on organizational skills and management, and he wanted to explore good relationships. And he looked at this idea of happy couples all over the world. And what he was looking for was the common denominator. What is it about all happy couples? What is it about all happy relationships that is that common denominator that they stay together and they genuinely enjoy being together? And so what he did was he started out with an assumption. And the assumption he started out with is that over time, couples downgrade their expectations of other people in regard to motive and character and virtue in order to stay happy. So that you couldn't possibly be as perfect as I think you are. So I've got to downgrade my expectations. I got to downgrade your motives. I got to downgrade everything so that I can remain happy. Not as great as I thought she was. So I'm going to just lower my expectations so that I can have a more realistic view of my partner and consequently be able to stay together. But what the study found out is the exact opposite. The study found out that when they asked the partner, so they ask a person to rate their partner and rate themselves on certain areas and certain questions, what they found out was that the partner always rated himself or herself lower than the spouse did. So when I was rating Susie, for instance, I would always rate Susie higher than she rated herself. And she would always rate me higher than I rated myself. And what happened was that he found out that love really is blind. True love is blind to the deficiencies of their partner. They had an unrealistically more positive view of their spouse. Happy couples had an unrealistically positive view of their spouse. And what he goes on in the study is that he said that happy couples kind of created this upward spiral of love. And it kind of built on itself. And what he found out was that a couple had this illusion about the other person that, wow, Susie is awesome. She is unbelievable. And what happened was that illusion created a conviction. I said that she was awesome so long, I started believing it. She's the greatest. And I started believing it. And so that illusion became a conviction. That conviction led to security. If she really is that great, I can truly trust her. I'm safe. And so that conviction created security, and security then created intimacy. If she's safe and I can trust her, I can be intimate with her. I can fearlessly reveal myself to her. There's no need to hold back. And so when I had intimacy, it fostered the illusion again. It fostered the love. That love underpinned and underscored further the illusion that I think she is awesome. If you're sleeping, you want to wake up. Because here's what Buckingham concluded. Happy couples find the most generous explanation for each other's behavior and believe it. That's what it is. The explanation, the recommendation is find the most generous explanation for each other's behavior and believe it. I mean, that's what the King James says. I mean, most people believe that's what Jesus spoke, King James, which isn't true. But the King James says, believes all things. I mean, I know that just blows your mind. Love believes all things. Now, what we need to realize is that love does not deny the obstacles. We're not denying the obstacles, but we're also not allowing the obstacles to steal the truth of this verse in our lives, marriages, and relationships. Even, I know you're not going to believe this, even if it keeps happening, time after time after time after time after time after time, you have a choice every single time. I'm going to believe the best, and I'm going to assume the worst. Every single time. Let's talk about the obstacles for a second. Here's an obstacle. Our experiences are an obstacle. He keeps doing it. She won't stop. That's my experience. That's an obstacle to believing the best. We have to admit that. We can't overlook that. It's an obstacle to believing the best because they keep doing it. They won't stop. But the other obstacle that cannot be denied is who we are. So yes, he or she is doing it again, but we also need to realize about the obstacle is that we have stuff. Amen? We got stuff. We got father wounds. We got mother wounds. We got grandfather wounds. We got first husband wounds. We got present husband wounds. We got first, second, third wife wounds. We got baggage. We got fears. We got insecurity. And that cannot and should not be denied. And we realize that certain experiences trigger us. We can't deny that. With all of your fears, all of your insecurities, all of your triggers, and all of his or her inconsistencies and past failures, you guys are going to get so mad. You still have a choice. You still, every single time, have a choice. Either I'm going to believe the best or I'm going to assume the worst. Every single time. And you know this. Suspicion. Repeatedly assuming the worst is a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you keep assuming it, you will find something. If you keep looking for it, you will identify it on some level. And let me tell you from the other side, being under surveillance, on pins and needles, off balance, knowing someone else expects you to fail, you feel isolated, alone, and defeated. And it sets the stage for the very thing that you both dread happening. Happen. And I want us to realize that both obstacles, his or her behavior and his or her, yours, your issues, yourself, contribute to the relationship trust or lack thereof. So let's circle back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 6. We skipped over this and went pretty fast, but let's come back now that we understand verse 7, come back to verse 6. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. I think we've all read that on some level. We've kind of gripped that. But now in light of what we said, we have to understand fully. Love is not trying to catch the other person doing something wrong. Love is not building a case against the other person. Love is not keeping score of the past. You want to know how I know that? Susie taught me that by demonstrating it to me. She demonstrated very clearly what love is. She demonstrated to me that relationships that are happier and healthier when there's not grilling about every detail of the story. that it's not a criminal cross-examination when you're discussing something with your spouse. Realize that true, happier, and healthier relationships express confidence. I was preparing this message, and I was telling Susie about this next line that I'm about to tell you, and she was like, yeah, I still do that. So this is for, I was going to speak for my whole family, but this is just for me. I am not a toothbrush checker. You know, with your kids, like, did you brush your teeth? I am not a toothbrush checker. If you said you did, I believe you. I want to express, what are you shaking your head for? No. Are we really going to do this? So, a reminder to brush your teeth is different than not believing that you did it when you said you did it. You got anything more? We could go all night. But that's probably a good distinction. Listen, boundaries and reminders and communication is good. Distrusting is not. If they said they did it, believe them. If they said they didn't do it, believe them. Now, Susie says she does check toothbrushes, so I'd probably brush your teeth. Listen, there's no doubt that if expectations and experience do not match, they need to be talked about. I am not downplaying that. If these things don't match, their conversations need to be had. And it's okay. That's communication, right? So conversations need to be had if things don't match up. But it still does not change what you put in the middle. Even if you talk about it, what do you put in the middle? Do you assume the worst or do you believe the best? And so when we go back to the whole love always protects, love always trusts, love always hopes, love always perseveres, I then ask you, how about you? Your personality, your experiences, your temperament. Do you believe the best? Do you believe the most generous explanation to something you don't know? Or do you assume the worst? You're already mad and waiting. You know that one? Like, I haven't even seen them yet. I haven't even got a shred of evidence, but I've already convicted the case in my mind. That's assuming the worst. Now, let's be honest. What's the alternative? So if we don't do this, if we don't believe the best, what is the alternative? We're going to delight in uncovering mistakes? Like, is that the highlight of relationships? Like, I want to search and find out all the problems? We're going to thrive on speculation and then say, gotcha, and then get rid of them and try it again? Like, what's that? I caught you. We don't do that. I'm getting rid of you, and I'm going to try it again. Guess what? You go with you. And so if you didn't trust the first relationship, you will not trust the second relationship. Do we assume the worst and embrace the doubt? I can guarantee this one. You will be less happier and less healthier. I mean, think about it this way. I've got three kids, and I pray for their spouses almost daily. If I was going to sit Benjamin down as the oldest, and the one that speaks up the most, obviously, and I was going to sit him down and give him some relationship advice. Bud, just lay a trap for her. She'll step into it at some point. Find a way to get her. we know she's going to mess up at some point. Okay, buddy, listen. I want you from day one to collect as much evidence as you can. Build the strongest case that you can. And then sit her down and watch her squirm. What is that? What kind of relationship is that? There's always going to be gaps. And there's always going to be a choice. And so as we bring this in for a landing, I want to share one more thing with you that I think is so important and that Susie and I have discovered, unfortunately, through a great deal of pain. That when you choose trust, the other person receives it as acceptance. When you trust me, I think you accept me. I mean, isn't that what the prodigal son story was all about, right? He wanted and he took and he lost his entire inheritance. He was humiliated and decided to come home and ask for a servant's job. But the father's reaction was, while the son was still far off, the father saw him. He was filled with compassion for his son. He ran to his son. He threw his arms around his son and kissed him. He was waiting for him to return. He was planning a celebration. He welcomed him home with open arms. That's the kind of love that changes people. That son did not need to be reminded of what he did wrong. He knew it. But when the father threw out his love around him, he felt accepted. Well, Pastor, listen. That's just a story in the Bible. Come on, we can't live that out today. The only problem is, friends, our entire religion is based off of that kind of love. If we throw that out as not applicable to today, we have nothing. I'm going to law school. You know what I mean? I'm changing professions. I'm not doing this anymore if that's not true. That's the kind of love that changes people. That's the kind of love that God had for you and me. And that's the love, kind of love that we should have for each other. See, because a person's heart and behavior is drawn to trust. When we are trusted, our hearts and our behaviors come in line with that. We're drawn. It's magnetic. It's gravitational when we are trusted. Now, again, I know people smarter than me in this room have 11 different exceptions to this rule. You got to take that up with 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7, because it's biblical. It may not be commonsensical, but it's biblical. So how many times, I love this one. How many times have you given someone the benefit of the doubt? I think that is the most ridiculous thing ever. The benefit of the doubt. What is that? Thanks, but no thanks. The benefit of the doubt. Like, I don't trust you. I think you're lying to me. I'm sure in a few minutes I'm going to find out. But for right now, I'm going to give you the benefit. Of what? A delayed punishment? The benefit of the doubt is garbage. How about start giving people the benefit of belief? I believe you. I think you're telling me the truth. I'm not keeping score. Let me reiterate. This does not replace difficult conversations. But as soon as the conversation is over, believe the best. I'm not keeping score. And I'm going to come up with the best generous explanation I can. And then I'm going to believe it. Amen? Let's pray. God, this is such a good example of how your thoughts are not our thoughts. Your ways are not our ways. Lord, this doesn't make any sense. And I'm fairly certain that half the congregation thinks it's baloney. But Lord, can you seal it in our hearts and our minds today? That 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7 says that love always trusts. Lord, can you, somewhere between my mouth and all of our hearts and our ears, can you translate that? Can you interpret that for what it truly means? That we would begin to believe the best instead of assuming the worst in our relationships. We love you today. And we couldn't possibly even fathom even attempting to believe the best if you weren't there to protect us. You weren't there to guide us. You weren't there to catch us. Lord, have your way in us today. Father, this morning I think of our friends that are here today. Men and women, boys and girls of all different generations, all different decades, from the infant all the way up to the seasoned Christian. That each one of us has to come to a point in our lives where we recognize that we have fallen short of your perfection. We have to recognize, as the Bible says, that all have sinned. All have messed up. All have missed the mark. And we are sorry about that, God. As soon as we recognize that we're not perfect, as soon as we recognize that we have done something wrong, we need to confess that to you. Sorry. And Lord, we don't have to stay in sorry long, because then we can recognize that something has been done for us in our sin. Your Son, Jesus Christ, was sent from heaven to earth to die on the cross as a payment for my sin. To erase my sin, to eliminate my sin. And for that, we say thank you. Sorry, thank you. And now, God, as we desire to make changes, as we desire to live a new life, we cannot do it without you. We certainly can't believe the best without you. We default to assuming the worst. And so would you please come into our life, activate the Holy Spirit, and allow us to live according to the truths in your word. Have your way in us, Lord Jesus. We pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to close with a song. And as you can stand with me now. And as we're singing, we want to invite you forward. Pastor Chuck's here and he'll come forward. If you're here today and you would like prayer for anything, you want to pray for your relationship or for your trust, or where you've been assuming the worst, or anything. You want to pray for a health concern or any issue that you want to pray for, and you want someone to agree with you about something, we want to pray.